Welcome to another Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the collector segment where I talk about recently purchased comic books. And we'll start off again, like I told you, with Tales of Suspense. That's what's been my focus lately. Normally it's DC, it's weird, I'm shifting a little bit. But we have issue 69 of Tales of Suspense. This is the first appearance of Titanium Man Boris Bulisky. And it's the first appearance of the Countess, which we talked about last episode. Stephanie De La Spioza. You better look out for that. She might be in the next movie. You speculators, you. Okay. So now we got issue 79. This one is awesome because it's what I've been enjoying with the Pleasant Hill and the Cosmic Cube. But this is 79 is key to me because it's the first appearance of the Cosmic Cube, Kubik. So pretty important. We then have number 81, which is a Red Skull appearance, but it has Titanium Man. I mean, that Red Skull must be in the Captain America. Titanium Man must be fighting Iron Man. As on the cover, it's got Titanium Man strapped to a machine while scientists are messing with some gadgets. And it says, Mission Destroy Iron Man. Next cover is 82. This has Captain America fighting the Adaptoid. It says, The Maddening Mystery of the Inconceivable Adaptoid. And it's the first appearance of the Adaptoid, and most of us know the Super Adaptoid, but this is the Adaptoid. Speaking of Super Adaptoid, just a few issues later, in issue 84, we have the first appearance of the Super Adaptoid. So that's, and also this is an interesting one, more so than the Super Adaptoid, at least for me. It's a Happy Hogan substitutes as Iron Man. I didn't know that happened. So yeah, that's cool. And on the cover, it's got Super Adaptoid grabbing Captain America, and Captain America in an action pose. We then go to 89. This is the death of the Bucky Barnes robot. Key issue, because they're going to have the death of Bucky in the movies. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing you speculators again. But it is the death of the Bucky Barnes robot, and it's a new costume for the Melter. How about that? Melter might be hitting the movies soon. Better jump on it. Number 92. This is an awesome cover. It's also on the calendar this month. The Marvel calendar, a vintage Marvel calendar. So I actually have one of the covers. How about that? It's got Captain America busting in on somebody, and he was testing or experimenting on Nick Fury. Before my eyes, Nick Fury died. That's 92. And that one's the first appearance of Half-Face. The first appearance of Mecco Assassin, the death of Mecco Assassin, so he didn't last long. Note, John Romita does touches on Shannon Carter's face throughout the story. That's kind of an interesting factoid. And then we got 95, another Tales of Suspense. This one is the first appearance of Gunner Gates. How about that? And the origin of Grey Gargoyle. I wonder if Gunner Gates is Grey Gargoyle. Who knows? And the Captain America's identity is revealed. That's even more interesting. And if for you tie-in buffs, it coincides with Avengers number 47. And finally, last but not least, we have number 96. And that's the first appearance of the Sniper. This is one of my favorite covers. It has Captain America just falling from the sky, and it just says, to be reborn. It looks like somebody's, two people are shooting at him. So that's it for this collector segment, and stay tuned for Mike M's Weekly Reads. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just got back from my second showing on Suicide Squad, and it was even better the second time. The first time I was so engrossed with Deadshot and Boomerang and Enchantress and, you know, the members of the real Suicide Squad that I didn't really take a lot of notice about how Jared Leto, or whatever his name is, did as the Joker. And, man, he did a fascinating job. Like, there's, like, subtle facial gestures and things that I just absolutely loved. And I was really happy with his performance, even more so the second time. And also Harley's performance, it was pretty amazing to see it a second time. And I want to go a third time. I really do. I want to see this movie at least three times at the theater. It was a pleasant surprise because I don't have too many geek friends in Colorado. All of my friends are out east for the most part. And I have a few on the West Coast, but don't really have any here. But it was interesting because I posted on Facebook jokingly. I was like, I'm going to see Suicide Squad for the second time. Anyone to join me? And my friend Alan Ryson actually said yes. He's a former coworker, and he said he wanted to see it with me. So that was like a pleasant surprise. So got to hang out with my friend at the theater and watch Suicide Squad again. And I'm really happy that it's doing well at the box office. It seems to be sustaining more than they expected, which I'm happy with. Because I just love this movie. I really do. And there's a lot of magic and subtleties in there that I think fans of Suicide Squad will get. And fans of the Joker and Harlequin will get. And it's just such a good movie. And like even my parents called me, you know, as soon as they saw it, and they said, Mikey, we love the Suicide Squad. So I was really happy my parents liked it too. I can see why some people don't like it too, so I understand that, but I just adore the film. And I never listen to critics. I never even listen to my closest friends when they tell me I'd enjoy something. And the reason is I always want to form my own opinion on everything. So like when somebody says something is crappy or is amazing, it doesn't make me want to go more or go any less. I want to go because I want to experience it. And I just can't believe like how many people on the internet are so damn critical. They can't just, when I go to a movie, I don't like analyze anything. I just sit back, I decompress, I escape into a world that I never thought I would see on the big screen to begin with. With any movie though, I just sit back, and as long as I don't think about the outside world and I can absorb the film is at least a 3 out of 5 for me. It just is. So I'm just happy I'm alive. I get to see films and experience some of these characters that I never ever thought I'd see on the big screen. Because like Deadshot's one of my favorite characters of all time, and He got it right. Like there's just little subtleties with his daughter, and it just was magic on the screen. And even when he's like shooting up things, you know, there's one scene where there's like the Enchantress had converted some soldiers over, and they're attacking, and he's just like, boom, 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 boom. I like had goosebumps, man. And then he's on top of the car using his wrists, and I'm like, oh my God! It just I can't describe the feeling that I get. when I see this stuff, I like so much about it. We talked about it a lot on DC Noise. And I didn't get the shoulder shrug that Katana did, Keith. I know you don't listen to this, but I didn't see it. I really didn't. And this is the second time I didn't see that gesture. Maybe it was not prominent enough for me to notice it. But it was amazing. And I got emotional during so many scenes, especially with the Deadshot letters. But it's an amazing film. And I think you should go experience it if you haven't, at least for yourself, and make an opinion. I mean, you might not like it, but I absolutely adored it. And I think somebody asked me about biases. You know, do I have them? And yes, I can't deny I do. Very DC biased, and people know that I am, and I buy every single one of their titles. I want to experience the whole world. I want to experience the whole history. I want to experience the bad. I want to experience the good. I just love the universe. I love the characters, even when it's reinvented. And to me, it all connects. Every event connects to another event. And I'm just thoroughly enjoying it. And just want to talk about briefly Captain America number 3, even though I'll talk about it at a later date. I think this one would have had a lot more punch if they didn't allow issue 2 to come out. I think issue 2 kind of felt forced, like it was a plot line that they had that they were going to reveal at a later time, and they knew that this was going to cause a lot of controversy, so they almost like threw it in a little earlier. But it took away too much of the impact on 3. Even though 3 was like really good execution, really good story, I was a little disappointed in the impact because of what they revealed in 2. Like, I knew what, I said all along, you know, what it was. But I think they would have kept me hanging on a little bit, you know, just a little bit more curiosity. So that's what I had to say on there. And let's dig down into the Mike M's Weekly Reads. We have 41 comics this week. And it was from May 30th to June 5th. And I had the day off today, so it was kind of nice. I could just chill today. I should have gotten some work done, but I didn't. And we had 16 Marvel comics, 3 Image comics, 2 IDW, 15 DC, Boundless was 1, Avatar had 2, American Mythology had 1, Action Lab had 1. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have New Avengers number 11. This was establishing the status quo after the event of Pleasant Hill. It's forming a new team. Songbird had a triple betrayal, like as an agent for AIM. Like, it's just like, is she an agent for S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is she an agent for AIM? And they kind of clarify that if you look at newer issues. I think I just read the latest. That was a 3 out of 5. It's enjoyable. And the next one is The Lookers. This is Boundless. I guess if I had to cut any universe, it would probably be this one in Overground. But I'm very curious about this universe. I am enjoying the Ravening and what is the other one called? Helena the most, because they're almost linked in a universe. These books are a lot of nudity, a lot of sexual content, a lot of violence. So they won't appeal to everybody, but I am enjoying them. And this is an organization, it's kind of weird still. I would like to read issue 2 to see where it's going, but it's almost like they're baiting people that do sex crimes to come to their website and view them, and then they'll take them down. In other words, while they're being viewed. So they took down a kid in this one. We talk about this one in the latest Geek Brunch, where we read almost every Boundless title and talked about it. So that was a 3 out of 5, which means I enjoyed it. And now we'll get into the really enjoyed it. And the next one is an IDW book. And I'm surprised I like it as much as I do, but it's mindless entertainment. It's done really well in a video game style, and I don't even like video games, but I enjoy this. And I think I'm actually discovering Street Fighter, because I played it once or twice at the arcade, but I never saw the movies or never got into the property and never really cared. My video game of choice at the time was a Virtual Fighter, and I used to play with that little drunken fighter guy. But this is fun because it's like G.I. Joe fighting the Street Fighter fighters in a battle to see who's winning. And every time you get like a competition chart, and you see who's moving up the chart, who loses, and it's just fun battles. And I'm learning a lot about Street Fighter, so I'm enjoying it. It's mindless entertainment. The other one is Vicarious. It's number one from Action Lab. And this is where a chef loses his sister and kind of his mind and gets a new start when his uncle dies and leaves him his money and a suit that allows him to travel to dinosaur times. And it's weird because it's like a cooking thing. Like he decides to open up a restaurant cooking like dinosaur meats and stuff like that. And it's very unusual, but it had a really solid number one opening. Harley keeps knocking, but she doesn't want to go out. I don't get it. She's just like Harlequin, the comic books. So yeah. That was a pretty good title. We had Empty Zone 3 through 5. This girl gets a new arm. It gives backstory how she killed her team and then how all that resolved out. The cover and the art is amazing. The covers alone are really beautiful covers from Image. This finished the first arc. And there's more to come. Avengers number 0, this was me catching up on the Avengers. It was an intro to all the new Avengers titles. So basically what happened with the Avengers is I wanted to read Pleasant Hill, so I just jumped into Pleasant Hill and then kept reading forward. And then I wanted to catch up on a lot of titles I hadn't read, like Avengers number 0, and work my way forward again. Sometimes I'll do that. If I'm into an event and I want to read the entire event, I'll read them out of order. But this was a title to give samplers. It had a great Vision and Squadron Supreme story. It was really good intro. I actually liked it better than some of the titles that they have out. So I don't know if it was good representation of what was out there, but I enjoyed it. We have Cinema Purgatorio. It's an anthology book from Avatar. It has Alan Moore, Garth Ennis, a bunch of different writers. It's got sci-fi. It's got crime. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got film noir. It is a really good anthology, and I read issues 1 and 2. It was really enjoyable. Satellite Falling, number 1. This is a really good science fiction story about a character, a bounty hunter that works for the cops, and she can change her shape. Really enjoyable book. Good number one start issue. It's from IDW. Alan Dracombe. Ooh, I forgot one. I actually read 42 comics. I forgot about Amigo. I had an Amigo title here. So that takes me to 42. It's a 4 out of 5. Alan Dracombe. This one has El Torres adapting another one's story, probably from Spain or something. It's a mercenary hired to protect a doctor in a futuristic setting. And it really was a really good number one. I don't know when number two will come out. I don't think it's come out. But I hope it comes out soon so I don't forget the story. We got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 4. It was a Pleasant Hill wrap-up like I talked about in the previous episode. I've been really enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Surprisingly, it's one of those titles that I didn't think I would like, but I do. We have New Avengers number 9 and 10. The DOD releases an American kaiju on AIM Island. I did like that, the battle. We have the Avengers have like this like Shogun warrior character, which is really cool. And it's a wrap up to his current story arc about AIM Island. We have all new different Avengers number 8. It's continued from Uncanny Avengers. This was an enjoyable one, and the title got better for me after this issue. This is the Mark Waid Avengers. I can't remember if this was the Wasp issue. I think it was, and that's why I liked it. But I'm still getting used to this team as a team. It just seems more about plot-driven than character-driven, and I need a little bit of both. It's actually my least favorite Avengers book. We have a Canon Avengers number 8. This is Pleasant Hill-ish. They find out who they... they find out the identities of the characters in Pleasant Hill. And they actually have a team up with the all-new Avengers in this story arc. Then we had number 9. There's a very important scene with Rogue and Gambit about the Red Skull that forecasts what is really going on. So it's important. And Hank Pym is back. That was really an interesting thing because I must have missed the boat on Hank Pym being gone. So I had to go do a little research after I found he was back. We have Illuminati number 6. This is the Hood and Titania Rescue Absorbing Man. It's also a Pleasant Hill crossover. So you could see as I started reading all the tie-ins to the Pleasant Hill. We have Suicide Squad number 1, Free Comic Book Day edition. I was just revisiting the New 52 one. And I remembered how much I really liked it. This was like where the team was being tortured. You had Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Voltiac, Black Spider, King Shark, and Savant. And they were all being tortured in order to find, you know, see what would happen if they were captured and who was passing a test. We have Superman Wonder Woman 29 was the penultimate issue. There's a Trinity battle with the Energy Superman. Clark Superman takes his family to the Fortress of Solitude. There was just some really interesting stuff towards the tail end of the New 52 Superman. We have Superman number 52, which was the death of the New 52 Superman. He absorbed the energy of the Energy Superman. And this should be read very carefully because it plays a lot into the origin of Superwoman, which I'll talk about in a later episode. We have Green Lantern's Rebirth. So we're getting into the Rebirth books finally. This was Baz and Jessica appointed as the Green Lanterns of Earth while Hal was off. And the Red Lanterns are ready to attack. This story started off really well. They have a lot of good characterization between the two. I enjoy it. But I'm starting to think that the storyline is dragging a little bit. Like, it just keeps pounding the conflict between the two Green Lanterns home. And it seems like it's moving at a snail's pace from going to point A to point B. But I am still enjoying it now. Old Man Logan, another Marvel book that has really, really surprised me. And in this one, it has a key showdown with Lady Deathstrike. It was a really good issue. This is a really good title by Jeff Lemire. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And then we get into the Captain America, Sam Wilson. I had read Seven as it was part of the Pleasant Hill tie-ins, and this is Sam Wilson 3 through 6. It had the Serpent Solutions, which is the Serpent Society. Oh, such a good thing. Such a call out to Mark Grunwald. And they were like a solution for the new financial 1% is so interesting. And then Sam gets betrayed by Diamondback. We had a new Falcon, and then they defeated Serpent Solutions. And then you had an 8 and 9 America Cops. And then Sam doubting himself as Captain America. And he actually wants Hill to go to prison for her involvement in Pleasant Hill. There's Harley again, but this time she might go out because the sun just came out. And Barb is probably getting ready to come home from work, but it looks like it's not going well. No, looks like it might rain. I was going to say, I should take Harley for another walk. Had a good walk this morning. We've been seeing a lot of deer. And it's not like where we live is really out east. And it's more in the flatlands than close to the mountain. And in the past, we would see coyotes and stuff like that. When we had a drought, we'd see nothing. But now we're seeing like deer. And I saw a male the other time, and he was huge. It actually scared the crap out of me because he was with his two women. And I was like, man, if I piss this guy out, me and Harley, he's going to just charge me with his antlers. But it was a very peaceful confrontation. And usually what we see is like field pronghorn, but we don't see deer. And these are actually deer. So the trail I take Harley on is really green. It's got a lot of water. It really is an enjoyable walk. But that's a lot of sidetrack. So let me get back on track. So we just talked about Captain America. I am really enjoying what Nick Spencer is doing to this universe. I see a lot of Mark Grunwald callbacks with the character he has. D-Man, Serpent Society, themes. You know, he got a new Falcon. It seems very plot. I like how his plots go because his plots do what Grunwald does. Is he has like a thread, but he's got other ongoing plots that are going on. You know, Misty Knight, all kinds of cool stuff. Really enjoying Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers right now. We have Green Arrow Rebirth number one. This was a really good issue. It had Black Canary visiting Seattle to stop an underground people from kidnapping the homeless. It's kind of lost that theme. Like they're still around and they're still going after them, but it seems like they're losing that homeless thing. I mean, they have like brief mentions in it now. But Green Arrow's a really consistent title, really enjoyable. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse number one. This is the initial one where you get an introduction to the characters. I really like what they did, the changes they made it really interesting to see these characters and the beginnings of a post-apocalyptic scenario that Velma's, the lab that Velma works for, unleashes, and she unknowingly, she knows that they were doing something for the betterment of humanity, but she doesn't know that the outcome would do this. And Daphne and Fred, they kind of like a reality TV show where she does a reality show. It used to be popular. Now it's kind of dwindled down. It's a pretty interesting arc. Shaggy, very interesting. He's a dog trainer for this lab, and he's there brought in to train the dogs. And Scooby was the first generation dog that they try to make smarter. And he's getting beat up by other dogs, but he has a bond with him, and I really enjoyed this, and it just keeps getting better, in my opinion. Azrael number 54 and 55 round out the 4 out of 5s. I was listening to Gotham by Geek. Sometimes I'm not on the show. I don't usually listen when I'm part of the show. Unless I like go to the bathroom and I miss a segment or something like that. But I was missing quite a few episodes there for a while. And I always miss the interviews. And it's I'm weird. I'm a very strange person because you think I'd enjoy the interviews, but I don't really care about listening to creators talk. I'd rather have it be like more of a natural conversation and not about what they do to create for some reason. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I'd rather talk to friends about comics and have it be more of a natural conversation. That's why, like, when we talk to like Robert Atkins on DC Noise, I feel like it's not really an interview. It's us, goofing around like we'd normally do. And I enjoy that kind of stuff rather than doing interviews. So if there's an interview, I skip those too because I don't want to sit there and answer formal questions and listen to it. Unless it was somebody like Jack Kirby. If it was that, then I'd be there, but I wouldn't be able to say a word because I'd be crying with joy. But I appreciate interviews. I think they're good, and I think they bring a lot of visibility to a podcast. The only interesting thing about me is I don't care about visibility. I don't know if that's bad or if that's good. I guess I should care that my voice is out there and that people are listening. But in actuality, I love to get feedback. I love when people enjoy the show. But I think I'm very selfish and I do this for myself. Mike M's is kind of like a diary. It's my diary, and if somebody listens, that's fantastic. If they enjoy, that's fantastic. But I'm not going to stop doing it because I have two listeners. Nor am I trying to bring in more. I mean, if I do, that's great. I don't even know what my download numbers are. That's how much I care. I've asked Derek. He hosts my shows. Maybe once every 4 years, just to get a gauge of what they are. But I don't monitor them. I don't do that kind of stuff. And I don't know why. I don't. They people make fun of me too because I don't review my own podcast. People leave their own reviews, but I don't leave an iTunes review for myself. I just think it's wrong. I don't know why. I have friends that do it, and that's more power to them. They don't feel that, but I don't know. For the most part, a lot of people have liked the podcast, but there are people that hate the podcast as well, especially DC Noise. I think DC Noise has the best iTunes reviews in history. If you want to go see some good iTunes reviews, love or hate it, go look at those iTunes reviews. But I just went off on a tangent. What they were talking about as their least favorite was Azrael, but I think in No Man's Land, the Azrael that I read, I thought it was a breath of fresh air. Because you had like these spurts of real seriousness, and then you had these bizarre things going on with Nicholas Scratch and how Azrael was dealing with things and being philosophical, philosophy, using philosophy and stuff like that with his own mind and thinking things through. And I enjoyed it. And then 54 and 55, he had a father and daughter put a dad out to die because of lack of food. I thought that was amazing. You had Calabax, Joker, and Nicholas Scratch. You had a death dancer killing people. He was kind of crazy, but he would like do a death dance and actually slash their throats, put them out of their misery. He thought he was like an angel that would put people that were suffering out of their misery. I've talked a lot about the in this episode. It's gone way over than longer than I thought. We also had Dr. Tompkins and Oracle Star, which is really good Asriel stories. These are from No Man's Land. That rounds out the 4 out of 5s, the ones that I really enjoyed. I really got into, and they stood out. And as we got from top to bottom, it shows you what I liked more than the other. If something was a bottom 4 out of 5, then it's not as good as the top 4 out of 5 that I read. So now we get into the 5 out of 5s, and here's a surprise for you. I am a Three Stooges fan, so I was really curious what American mythology would do with the Three Stooges. They had a ballpark story, Gumshoes, and a reprint. And I thought this really captured the magic. Why is it a 5 out of 5 for me? Because I felt like I was in a Three Stooges watching the black and white serial on American Movie Classics, wherever they show it now. When I was a kid, we go to KOA camps. And KOA camps, they had a lot of social activities, believe it or not. We didn't have money to stay at hotels or anything. So we had an Apache camper. We'd go to KOA camps. Even if we're going to Disneyland, we'd stay in the KOA camp. But a lot of the KOA camps had like these social activities at night. They'd also have video games, maybe 5 or 6 games that you'd spend a lot of time. The KOA camps always remind me of The Last Starfighter. When you see them playing that video game outside of their trailer park, that's the KOA camps I used to go to. They kind of look like that. But they used to have films at night for the kids, like activities. And they were like harmless films. They weren't like Disney movies or anything, but they were like Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy. And as a kid, I grow fond of these. I grew up with Little Rascals, but I didn't see a lot of like Three Stooges and Laurel and Hardy until later in life in the KOA camps. Matter of fact, when I was a little boy, I don't remember how I got into the Little Rascals, but I was in love with Darla. I don't know why. But and I also really love Miss Crabtree. I thought Miss Crabtree was one of the hottest things on the planet. So those hormones were kicking in. But anyway, this Three Stooges knocked it out of the park, and I'm going to continue to get this book. I just love the property. Then we had Superman Rebirth number one, and it ties in and talks to the death of the New 52 Superman and the Lois and Clark Superman from the New 52, and which is kind of like our Superman. But he actually is with Lana, and he's investigating the probability of bringing back the New 52 Superman with the rejuvenation matrix. But he finds out in this world it doesn't exist. So it's very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Then we had the conclusion of We Are Robin, Lieber Mayo. Fantastic series, in my opinion. It's one of the darkest, most thought-provoking series, and the art just blew me away. It reminded me about like some of the Malibu comics that came out in the 80s and or 90s actually. And I just really like the style of this artist. And this one ended the Smiley story arc, and they decide to go rob one of Bruce's hideaways, and they're fouled up. It's fouled up by the Robins. So they ended that Smiley arc, and then they had a bunch of kids that were trying to rob one of Bruce's hideaway houses, and it was, like I said, it was actually foiled by the We Are Robins. So they actually teamed up again, even though, like, during the time it was a very dysfunctional group. They started off as a team, and then during the Robin's story arc, what was that called? I don't remember what it was called, but it was kicked off by Tom King. and there's a trade on it. But that series, they were kind of like dysfunctional because they were outlawed by, they were, the police force were trying to bring in these characters that were, you know, in Robin costumes. So they were kind of like very dysfunctional and not a unit anymore. And then it ended with them being like a unit again, which was a lot of fun. Then we had 5 out of 5 was Secret Six number 14. This was Shiva training Strix. Shwana kills Catman, which was a really surprise. But he has 9 lives. And Shwana also deactivates Ferdy, which is a crazy reveal for if you've been following. Shwana is a ventriloquist for the New 52, even though the other one exists as well. She's the one that has the puppet, except she has powers. She doesn't, like, put the arm in and control the voice and everything. She actually animates that doll with her powers, so it was really interesting. Future Quest number 1. It actually turned out to be my least favorite of the bunch. And I can't explain why, but the art is amazing. Doc Shaner. I think it's because it is so close to the property that it feels like the animation. So somebody who really loves the property will love it. But I like when they do new takes on properties. And this one feels more like let's take all the Hanna-Barbera action characters and put them in an action adventure. And it is really cool to see, like, Johnny Quest. That's the one that I am fond of. The Herculoids, very fond of that cartoon. And then probably third is Space Ghost. And then the other ones I just have, like, a knowledge of, but I wasn't a huge fan. I would see some of them on USA Network. I used to have a lot of cartoons, but I've babbled on a lot, so we had 42 comics. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please leave feedback. Let me know what you're excited about. You could leave feedback at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You could send me an email. Let me know what you're enjoying. I always like to hear what other people are enjoying. It's interesting because we all have different tastes. I will never condemn anybody's taste. I have no right to. We all have different experiences. People like what they like. Matter of fact, God, I'm babbling. I should shut the fuck up. But I was on the Valiant fan group, and every time I get involved in there, I get pissed off because I think they're some of their fans there. They're very loyal. They're crazy, and they're very anti-Marvel and DC, and that drives me nuts. First, that doesn't help the company because it makes it feel like, oh, you got to be part of an elite group to like this stuff. You should embrace it. Like, oh, you like Superman? You should come over and try this. Instead of, like, putting down people's books that they love. But this one guy started talking about bad books, and he was like, he gives me an example, and I thought this example was total bullshit. It was like, a book is bad if somebody doesn't like it. That means you like a bad book. And that kind of philosophy drives me batshit. You don't let anybody tell you that you like a bad book. We all have different tastes. If you enjoy it, fuck those people. Yeah, I said it. Fuck them. You enjoy what you enjoy. You don't have to enjoy what I enjoy. I expect you to read your own books and form your own opinions and don't listen to me. I'm not a critic. I really am not a critic. Critics, like, look at things. They analyze things. I don't do that. I sit back and I kick back and I get a relief from reality, and I escape into worlds that I want to escape in, and that's what I do. I'm not a critic. I just know what I like, and I don't like to sit and focus on the negative. There are things that I don't like. I'd rather sit there, like on a 2 out of 5 or 3 out of 5, for me, and focus on the positive. Well, what did I get out of this that I liked? So many people love to focus on the hate, and they're like bugs. They are like those bugs in Suicide Squad. You know, the Enchantress come there, an infestation of hate. And people love to thrive and throw out their hate and hope that they swarm other people in. And it's not that way with love. It just doesn't seem that way in social media. I have left so many groups because of the ridiculousness. There was some asshole on the DC 52 site. I think it became DC Rebirth after a while. But all he could do was talk about Harley Quinn and how Margot Robbie was is shameful, and he's full of shit. He doesn't even read the goddamn comics. How it people that make their assessments, they like what they like, but they don't understand the history. They really don't. And I understand some of his points, but he should focus on what he likes and not what he hates. But he really got violent with people, and that I can't believe they didn't kick the fuck out that guy out of the fucking group. I mean, when you start calling people buckheads and shit like that, it's time to leave. I just left. I said, this is a waste of my time. Why am I even here? So, yeah, I've mouthed out a lot. I give my opinions. You can listen to them and form your own. Don't listen to me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just making a lot of noise, a lot of comic book noise. I had took that from Derek Coward. Props to him. He also gave me a birthday gift, and he has no business going to buy me a birthday gift, but he's just pure love. He is a true friend. He's given me more than I could ever give him. He made me a podcaster. He keeps me podcasting. He never asked for anything in return. He is why I podcast. There's no other reason. He is why I got involved in the forums. He is why I have met brothers. And the people that I podcast with, they are not just people that I love them. I cry with them. I laugh with them. They are people I care about, that I think about. And they know who they are. They know that I love them. And when I say I love somebody, I really mean it. It's not just like I love you, bro. It's I really, in my heart, feel love for these people. And Derek is one of them. You know, and then Keith, of course, and Daryl, and Campbell, and Chris Ivy, and Bill Bomer, and Micah, and Eric, who's since passed. All the people that I've podcasted with, I have become so close to these individuals that I trust them with everything. They are my family. And God damn, I'm a fucking I sit here and talk into a mic and walk around the house, and I don't know why I do this. But I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening. And like I said, leave feedback at Mike Myers Brunch. Mike at comicbooknoise.com. You can leave an iTunes review. I'd appreciate it. We're starting to get some, and I'd like a lot more under the Geek Brunch one. So if you can, even if you Even if you don't use iTunes, but it's easy for you to get to, I'd appreciate it. I really gotta get this thing on Stitcher, like DC Noises on Stitcher, because that's like a live streaming, which is a lot is nicer for some people. But I'm fucking lazy. But thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.